This is a look back episode on the things that happened in 2023. I am here with Scott and Phil from Wealth Lab. Phil, how are we doing today?
Yeah, good. Thanks, mate. How are you?
I am well. I'm feeling relaxed and rested. Had a good couple of weeks off. I'm ready to crack into 2024. What about yourself?
Yeah, much the same, mate. Had a great couple of weeks just rolling around with the family and getting outside, which was nice, and yeah, ready to rip in for the year. So it's good.
Very, very cute. So Phil had some rather tasty looking ham that he was cooking for Christmas Day on the smoker, which I was a bit, I was pretty impressed with.
Mate, I was impressed as well. I'm not afraid to say it was it's definitely the best one so far. So onwards and upwards each year, mate.
Right, so this is going to be a five-part episode. So we're just going to break it down in terms of segment one, economic overview for 2024. We're just going to do a highlight level of what the overview for last year was. Segment two, I'm going to break it into investment highlights, just talking to some market trends that we saw happening. And then Phil's going to talk about some personal finance stories. Then he's going to go into common financial mistakes. And then we're going to round this episode out with where we see things going to be going for 2024. So basically taking what we've looked at from last year, wrapping that up together, and then putting some predictions together for the following 12 months. So do stick around. This is a great episode. And from there, we're going to crack into it. Obviously, interest rates were the biggest thing that we were talking about from last year. We had had that huge run up of interest rates that were coming off the back of the COVID bubble that was created through zero interest rates in the US. Every single government in the world, it felt like, was just printing unlimited money. And then that then generated inflation in every single area that we could possibly think of, when it was used cars, caravans, stuff at the supermarket. And the rather blunt instrument that the Aussie government chose to use was interest rates. And that actually punishes those people who are trying to create businesses, who are trying to invest, who are trying to buy houses, and rewards those people who are saving money and have money in the bank and have fixed income exposure. So when I say it's blunt, it tends to reward those people who are at later stages of life and hurt those people who are at the earlier stages of life trying to accumulate assets. That's not to say that that the drawdown in equity markets that was the beginning of the year didn't hurt all our retirees or pre-retirees. But with rising interest rates, you get paid more money on your cash, which means it's actually a disincentive to invest, because you can basically get risk-free returns at 4 to 4.5%, depending on where you are at in the world or where you've got your money stashed. And if you're trying to look at, say, for example, BHP or CBA, the dividend that they're paying is below 2, maybe 2.5%, something like that. So I can basically just get a 4.5% income guaranteed from a CBA deposit. Why wouldn't I do that? So that has certainly impacted things. If we look forward into 2024, there is somewhere between 3 to 4-ish interest rate reductions priced in the market. My view on that is, I reckon that's a little bit aggressive. I think we're going to have lingering inflation or potentially stagflation coming around. And that's just because if you look at how ridiculously tight the labor market is at the moment, there's not that much scope for additional productivity to be picked up. And I just think we're just going to be stumbling along. It's a bit of a zombie economy. So I don't think the government is going to be able to reduce the interest rates as fast as they would like, just because of how robust the labor market is. And that's obviously affecting super low unemployment. And then inflation is probably going to continue with the supermarket. Phil, any thoughts on that?
Mate, no, I think you probably summed it up pretty well. I mean, you know, you can ask 20 economists and get 20 different answers at the moment. So I guess it all just remains to be seen. But yeah, something's got to break somewhere. Just picking along, I don't know.
I think people have been calling for the housing market to collapse for 20 something years, since the late 80s, maybe so 30 something years. I think with the amount of immigration coming in and the lack of housing supply.
Yeah, can't build them fast enough at the moment.
I don't think that's going to be an issue. Yeah.
Look around here and prices, I was gonna say, probably like prices around here have sort of fallen 7 to 10% from the highs, but that's still up 10 to 15% on where they were, you know, 5 years ago. And you can't, if you want to buy a house around where I live now, you can't find one to buy. Just don't see how the prices are going to come down. There's nothing to spend your money on, even if you've got it. So, yeah, I don't know. Yeah. It is what it is.
Yeah, I think pending a nuclear war, something like that. Yeah. I think, you know, worrying about the pricey house is probably not that important, considering there might be like nuclear fallout coming around. I don't know.
Yeah. Might have a bigger concern at that point, I guess. Yeah,
I agree. I think we do have a bigger concern at that point. I just want to go. So moving on to segment number two, investment highlights. I think so that the stock market finished on an absolute ripping ride. Up until around November, the US markets and then subsequently the Aussie markets were down, and then in the final sort of 8 to 12 weeks. They absolutely ripped up with these expectations that interest rates were going to be coming off and there was going to be a lot of money moving from cash into the equities markets. So stock markets are forward looking. So they have priced in a number of interest rate reductions already. So that is factored into the market today, interest rate reductions in the future, which is kind of a weird thing to think about. But that's just how volatility works. And that is going to reward those people who basically just stayed the course, didn't sell, panic. And now we look at US markets at almost all-time highs, which then affects the rest of the planet. The Aussie market's still a little bit down, but that's just from our exposure to financials. I would say the most interesting ones for me was the cryptocurrency fade. It was amazing, amazing flash in the pan. If we go 2021, 22, it was what everyone was talking about. And then Phil and myself, we were at a researcher conference in mid-December, and someone stuck up their hand and went, "Isn't it weird that no one's talking about crypto today?"
Yeah, it was the only time it was mentioned. I think was mentioned that it hadn't been mentioned.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Whereas they had, I think they had two or three speakers the prior year, and there was maybe 10 or 12 speakers in total. So like the prior year of 22, the same forum had like 15 to 20% of the speakers were specifically on the future of cryptocurrencies and how it's affecting financials, and what a huge flash in the pan that was. I think it will go down as an interesting grift, G-R-I-F-T, around how people did a great job of separating, shall we call it, retail money from what they own and moving it to other people who were promising crazy returns. I do reluctantly keep clicking on these YouTubers that point out all the online crypto scams, because it's just unbelievable the amount of money that was torched and stolen from people in that time frame.
Yeah.
And the fundamentals are still fine. I think probably property transactions will be done on the blockchain in 10 years' time.
I think that's the thing, but it's such a weird thing, because you think like blockchain technology, I mean, it's got to form a big part of like financial transactions and all that sort of stuff in the future. I can't see how not. It makes too much sense. But you got to separate that from the crypto market with all these weird manufactured bloody nothing coins that are really just a way to shift money from investors to the people that are creating this garbage.
Speculators, should we say?
All these bloody meme coins and all this nonsense, and everyone gets wrapped up in the hype. Yeah. But I think you got to view them as two separate things.
Look, there's going to be I suspect there'll always be another bull run coming in 25, 26 for crypto, as there's a new wave of 18 to 21-year-olds that just come in the market and go, "Oh, this is exciting," and we'll have something come into it. But I think certainly from a try and get rich quick, that's not what's going to be happening. The other thing is talking about fades or flash in the pans is ESG or sustainable and green investments. Those were probably 2017 to 2020. Those were the new investment theses. People were trying to get away from nuclear, get away from coal, and they turned out to be some of the best investments of the last sort of 2 years. Ironically, now Australia is using more coal than ever. Post-Russia invasion of Ukraine, the Chinese and Indians are buying more than has ever been done, been more than ever sold out of Russia. So the outcome is we're actually putting more fossil fuels in than ever before. not a good thing, but these are sustainable investments have proven to be not only a really bad investment, but also really inefficient at driving sustainable change. And if we look at 2024, ASIC had been really clear on greenwashing, which is pointing out certain investments that are saying we use green filters, and actually they don't, and they've just tried to slap a sticker on things to try and invest capital. So my view on that is like, let's just stick to the fundamentals. Don't go crazy. Let's just utilize professional investment managers to utilize their skill. And if we have surplus income, donate that to charities that we feel are important.
Yeah, good thought process. I like it.
All right. Phil, over to you. Personal finance success stories for 23, and I look forward to 24.
Yeah, look, there's been some cool ones this year if I just reflect back on some of the stuff we've done for people, which have been really good. I mean, there's always just the basic everyday bread and butter sort of gear that we do, you know, as far as just optimizing people, helping you get to retirement, giving clarity, all that kind of stuff we do day to day. But if I think of some of the specific cases that I've had that have been pretty cool outcomes, there's been a few people that we've gotten to a high likelihood of an early retirement, which is always a nice thing. So I've had a few of those where it's probably 2, 3, 4 years sooner than what they had anticipated, which is always nice. There's one particular client where we just made some slight tweaks to how they were managing their cash flow, very simply where the cash flow was going, how they were managing their debt repayments, all that sort of stuff. The reason I mentioned that is because over the life of their mortgage, it was about 40 grand in interest saved, which is a massive amount of money for not actually doing anything or not actually investing anything. They're just simply changing the way they manage their day-to-day finances. So that was a huge one that I thought was a great win. We've had some good cases making use of sort of the catch-up contribution provision. So most people haven't even heard or aren't even really aware of it. But, you know, you do have the ability to look back over your previous 5 years contribution and make use of unused concessional cap space. Now, this is absolutely not a recommendation for anyone listening to just go and randomly do this. Come and speak to us. But, you know, one particular client that came into some money through an inheritance. And through using that, we've been able to get him a $24,000 tax return, which is just an insane amount of
So what you're saying is try and get an inheritance from someone. Is that the trick?
Well, I mean, that'd always be great. But probably what I am saying is if you come into some unexpected money, speak to someone because you can probably use it a lot smarter than just whacking it in your bank account and doing nothing. Sure. You know, we've got 24 grand tax return on that, which allows us to use that money for contribution in the next financial year and get a further tax return. So it's a gift that keeps on giving. So that was a pretty cool one. Yeah, and also just seeing some clients, we had some debt. I think one of the earlier podcast episodes actually talking around the debt snowball. So actually watching that come through and work and seeing that debt get reduced and actually seeing those benchmarks get hit. You know, just your basic bread and butter stuff, but that's the stuff that makes a big difference to people. So there's been some really cool ones like that. I guess all that to say, we've done some really cool stuff for people this year. So give us a yell and see what we can do for you.
I think we've also done some good jobs around consolidating funds, putting them together, identifying what's going to be a good fit, just normal bread and butter stuff. So what were the most common mistakes that you saw your clients making last year?
Yeah.
Is there any specifics that we can draw out?
Mate, there's a few, and actually it sort of ties into the previous conversation around some of the success stories and how you just wrapped up there at some of that stuff. Some of the biggest mistakes I saw were just people that had done something with their super 5, 6, 7 years ago and never looked at it again. Wow. And there was a couple of clients that I picked up this year that were paying upwards of 3% in fees, which was just insane and reasonably big balances. So we're talking thousands of dollars here.
Is that with an advisor attached to it?
There wasn't there was probably 3 of these that I can think of, and in all of them there had been an advisor that they hadn't heard from since they set everything up.
Crazy.
And some of these were weird portfolios that maybe made sense 5 years ago or when they were set up. You know, there's like a lot of very heavy emerging markets exposure and things like that. Things that, you know, fallen out of favor since. Third double whammies for these clients. You know, they're invested in the wrong place. They're not earning the returns they should be, and they're paying insane fees. So that was some of the mistakes that that I saw, and there was a few people that were in that same boat where they'd set something up that maybe made sense at the time that absolutely makes no sense today, and they were paying way too much for it. So being able to tidy some of those up was great. Interest rates, we spoke about interest rates earlier. So there's some really common mistakes that we see there. I'd say the first one would be, I've seen a lot of people that are on really low fixed rates. They're all coming off sort of around December, January, February. And the vast majority of people I've seen in that position actually hadn't sat down, done the math, worked out what the impact to their budget was going to be, and perhaps prepared for it. So, you know, there are a lot of people that I've seen throughout the year that their cash flow is already really tight. There's no surplus. They're only just making ends meet. They're living week to week or month to month or whatever the case may be. And their interest rate, their homeowner payments are about to go up by $1,000 a month, which is not a small amount of money. And they hadn't sort of made any provisions for that. So that's a common mistake that I saw quite a bit. So obviously the first port of call there when I'm working with those people is let's dig into your budget and work out where we're going to cut back and where are we going to find this money from so that you're not all of a sudden in a panic when it hits. And the other really common mistake that sounds obvious, but most, you know, a lot of people don't address is just reviewing your interest rates. You know, a lot of people are still with the same bank they've been with for the last 10 years. You know, the average mortgage in Australia is about $580,000. If you're paying, if you're paying 1% more than you need to be, that's $6,000 a year just about that you're giving to the bank just because you're too lazy to look around. Or not even too lazy, but just haven't thought about it, confusing. You know. Yeah, it is confusing. There's a lot going on. So that's another common mistake is, you know, paying the loyalty tax to a big bank when you probably don't need to be. So obviously we've taken steps to rectify that where relevant. Just basic bread and butter stuff, not managing cash flow well. So, you know, not making use of things like offset accounts and that sort of gear. And then if we link that further, I've seen a lot of people, this is frightening how common this is, but might be carrying $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 balance on a credit card and they've got $20,000 sitting in an offset account. Why are you paying 20% interest on $7,000 to save 5% or 6% interest? So common. I don't understand the rationale, but that's something that we sort of talked through with people and picked up. That is... Yep. A really, really, really common one.
Yeah. I've had a couple of clients where we just cut up their credit cards. We did it. We did the old school thing.
Yeah, it's just gone. Like a credit card used well can actually be a great strategy, but it can be death for a lot of people. So, you should never be carrying a balance unless there's an absolute emergency.
All right. I want to keep this podcast punchy. So let's look forward to 2024. All right. In terms of the common financial mistakes for 2024, I've got one. And that is going, I'm seeing a rise in social media posts purporting to give you high returns that you click on it. And they then will try and sell you a higher yield insert something. It could be a whiskey barrel. It could be a crypto fund because they're still around. It could be a stock market investment or more likely a property something investment.
Yeah. NDIS, that's the big ones at the moment. Bloody NDIS properties everywhere.
They're everywhere. Yeah, right. So I think it's just stealing yourself, maybe also doing the same thing, having a chat to your mum and dad, just be mindful about the Facebook ads that are targeting them, Instagram ads that are targeting you or wherever you consume your content, or just talk to the kids as well about wherever they're getting their financial advice or financial marketing coming on TikTok or Instagram as well or YouTube. Really, really be mindful that if something seems too good to be true, it probably is. That is always going to be the case. These types of high growth, high yield, high return investments have been around forever. There's just a new wrapper that's being put on them, and they're going to be targeting you through whatever social media you are interacting with. So I'm going to have that for a common financial mistake for 2024. I think it's going to be coming, and I think we're going to be talking to clients during the year that might have either lost some money or there's been a big drama about it. AFCA came out today, which is basically the complaints tribunal for the financial system, and they had over 100,000 complaints in 2023, which is like a non-insignificant portion of the population lodging a complaint about a financial product. And the prior year, it had been about 50,000. It's a mix of AFCA being completely unable to set up to deal with these types of complaints. They're just unable to do it because they don't have that capacity. And they are predominantly around payment processing times, scams, and poor investments that people have themselves, not through an advisor. If you look at the AFCA complaints, the number of financial advisor complaints are sort of like a rounding error. But that's just because there's not that many financial planners left in the market as well. So it's also an issue. There's a lot of people going just direct and doing it themselves when it comes to investments. So just be very mindful. If you do choose to send your money to someone who you speak to, who has some great websites and YouTube reviews, etc., and you send that money, we can talk to you about a cash flow for what to do if the money's gone. We can talk to you about the money mindset of dealing with loss, and then how to continue to invest in a way that is, you know, safe within your risk profile. But yeah, that's my pick. What about you?
Yeah, look, I'm going to just harp on about one that we've spoken about plenty of this year, but I think it's just going to become more of a problem, and it's the scam. So they're getting better and better every week. I got another one 2 days ago that was logging here to update your Medicare profile that was a bullshit link. Yeah, they're getting better and better. They look really good. They're sophisticated, or even the old, like, I've gone and invested through XYZ crypto, and this is separate. It's like some of these things that Scott was talking about, they're not scams, right? They're legitimate things. They're just shit, right? But there's also scams that look exactly the same. You know, I've actually had someone this year that I've spoken to that invested through one of these things they saw advertised. They had a portal they could log into. They could see the returns. It was all fake. The money was gone. Scams are getting more and more sophisticated. You've got to be hot to try. I've spoken about it a million times. Do not trust your retirement funds, your retirement planning, your investment funds to anybody who is not qualified. Log onto the MoneySmart Financial Advisor Register, pump it into Google, search the person you are speaking to and make sure they are qualified and that they actually are a legitimate business. It's all there. It's public information. Search it before you do anything.
I think also, I think just take a breath as well. Like, if you feel like I know that if you feel like you're being pushed into something, if there's pressure being placed on you that doesn't really make sense, don't do it. You know, finance works on banking hours, which is 9 to 5, Monday to Friday. Doesn't work on weekends. Doesn't work on public holidays. So if someone's pushing you, it doesn't make sense though, because you can't even set up the accounts that moment. You need to wait for the bank to be open, wait for the transfers to go through. And that is something that we've had to have to sort of negotiate with clients. Be like, look, you know, yep, that's great. You want to sign up as a client. That's fantastic. If you want to invest within our portfolio, the funds will take 2 to 3 days to move from wherever they are at the moment to the portfolios that we utilize. So, yep, there's just going to be some transfer time. You know, for us to move, say, for example, from a Australian Super or a Host Plus or whatever one of the big ones is, and then actually put it in the new account that we've selected and then invest it on your behalf, that could take a week. That's a normal time frame just for banking hours. So there really shouldn't be a huge rush around get your money into your account today, get this up, blah, 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 blah. So if you even get that sort of push, that's the absolute sign to walk away. But I don't think that's a 2024 one. I think that's just a general.
Yeah, it's just a general. I only mentioned it because we mentioned it so many times this year, and they're getting better and better. So that, and the other mistake's going to be stuff I already spoke about. Interest rates are still going to be a hot topic this year. Don't pay loyalty tax to your bank.
Love it. All right, guys, that's a final point from us. Be diligent with your money. Make sure your passwords are changed. I talked to you about this last year, but talk to your mum and dad about their password management. I did it myself. I sat down with my dad over Christmas and I saw the Google Chrome browser said he reused the same password a number of times. And we had to go through and change passwords. It was a painful process, but it's important you do it for your loved ones.
Yeah, well, bear can't turn the computer on, so we're safe.
Bless him. Yeah, watch out for the now the SMS ones. All right, guys, that's all from us. We hope you have a great day. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next time.
Beautiful. Cheers, guys.